Dirty electricity. That's what we're going to talk about and how it affects all of us. Dr. Samuel Milam joins us. We'll be back with him in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Now, Dr. Samuel Milam is a scientist who first alerted the world about the frightening link between occupational exposure to electromagnetic fields, electromagnetic pollution, and human disease, and that tie-in with the signals that are all over the place bombarding us. His book, Dirty Electricity, Electrification and the Diseases of Civilization. Dr. Samuel Milam back on Coast to Coast AM. Sam, how are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good to have you back. I assume since you were with me almost 2 years ago, nothing has changed with these electromagnetic hits that we're all getting.
Well, a lot's changed. It's gotten a lot worse.
Yeah. That's the sad part.
You're right.
Well, this electricity, how long has this been around?
Well, it's been around since Edison, and I'm convinced now that it all started with his generating station on Pearl Street in New York City in 1892. He had 9 big generators. They were called jumbo because they were so huge. And he put out the first grid. He delivered electricity, direct current to a population in New York City, basically for lighting. And later on, it became an AC system. But right from the very beginning, he had trouble. And I got into his archives fairly recently and looked at his patents. And one of the main problems he had at the very beginning was electric brush arcing. Now, brushes, they're called brushes because they look like brushes in his original machines. They were just copper wires bound together at one end to look like a brush.
Yeah.
And they picked up the electricity from the rotating shaft, the commutator. And he had a terrible time with arcing and sparking and wearing of the commutator. It's very expensive to pull that whole shaft out because it's a huge thing. So he tried to solve it. One patent he made, he used mercury. First he tried liquid mercury, and it worked to a point, but it made his workers terribly ill, of course, because it got hot, vaporized. And then he made sacrificial shoes to put on the commutator, so when they wore out, they could just replace the shoes instead of the whole shaft. So anytime you get arcing and sparking, you deliver a sharp spike in whatever you're delivering electrically. So his DC would look like spikes every time the brushes jumped over the commutator segment. The commutator had a number of grooves in it, and each time the brush went over the grooves, it'd make a spark. So he was delivering dirty electricity right from the get-go in New York City. And by the turn of the century, you could see mortality differences in the electrified populations. So I think it goes way back to him.
And Sam, when you talk about dirty electricity, give me that definition. And by the way, back off your phone just a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, well, the dirty electricity is the utilities are conjured up that title. It's basically electrical pollution. They're supposed to deliver exactly 60 cycles smooth sine wave electricity in this country. And in Europe, it's 50 cycles. That many cycles a second. But what happens when you get sparking and arcing from brushes like Edison got, you were delivering not only this later on with the AC current, you got a sine wave. You don't get the sine wave, you get a sine wave plus this additional stuff that's riding on it. And it's basically high frequency transients. They come and go quickly from sparking, arcing, and whatever else, and harmonics. In other words, instead of delivering 60 or delivering 120 or multiples of 60, you know, it's 180, 240, et cetera. So if you look at it on the oscilloscope, it's easy to see. It's hard to describe, but it's stuff that shouldn't be there. And when you listen to it on an AM radio, it causes static. So you know something's not right.
This bombardment, Sam, that people are getting hit with all the time, tell me a little bit about the research. How do we know that it's harming people?
Well, it's tough sell. I think there was evidence way back in the early 1900s that it was causing problems. Some people recognized it, but nobody put two and two together. In fact, I looked at one of the 1930 mortality books. That, you know, the government's been doing death statistics, you know, very well since the early 1900s, and they commented that in 1900, 1930, I think they noticed that there was 58% more cancer. The death rate from cancer was nearly 60% higher in cities than in rural areas. Well, again, cities in 1930 were electrified. Most of the rural areas weren't. So people noticed it, but nobody put two and two together until, I think, the very first mention of harm from electricity, except for lightning, of course, was Wertheimer and Leeper in 1979 did a study showing that houses that had thick wires running to them in Denver had more cancer in the kids who were living there.
That's weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
Yeah.
They didn't even measure the currents, but then later on, people started measuring the fields, and Wertheimer and Leeper were correct. In fact, in 82, I did a paper showing that if you worked with electricity intuitively, like if your death record said electrician or appliance repairman, or any of those other occupations, like you worked at the Columbia River dams, you had an increased mortality from certain kinds of cancer, like leukemia and brain cancer. That was how it started way back in the 80s. But
well, you know, I've seen, for example, I just saw another study on cell phone usage, and it talked about how it's not harmful for you. So, Sam, my first question for you would be, people who are just reading these studies, you know, the person at home,
yeah,
how do they know what to believe anymore? I mean, they get a study that says it's harmful, then they see another one that says it isn't. I can see how they're all confused.
Yeah, well, the confusion is intentional. If you, one of my friends, Dr. Henry Lott, University of Washington, he tallied up all the studies in EMF and cell phones included. And if you looked at who paid for the study or who sponsored the study, it basically told you what the result was. Almost all the positive studies were done either with federal funding or independent funding. And the negative studies were almost all paid for by the utilities and the cell phone companies.
Which they don't disclose, or do they, eventually?
Oh, well, no, they twist the truth. They, I mean, there's so much corruption and so much money flying around. We're talking about billions of dollars. This industry is... And the media, I mean, like NBC is owned by GE. I mean, do you think...
Well, but is this collateral damage? I mean, do they not care about the individual? Do they simply say, all right, one out of every what is going to die? No, that's the way it is.
No, I really, I'm cynical about it. I really believe they understand the harm. And I've actually heard that some of the big cell phone companies years ago knew that they're going to have to change their modus operandi and go to other tools. So they recognized that it wasn't harmless. And a lot of people I used to respect in the business have taken the money and tell lies. I mean, that's as simple as that. But if you look at the literature, it's becoming more damning by the minute. And I think the evidence is there. The bodies are stacking up.
If people generally will hold a phone to their left ear, are we finding a higher incidence of tumors on the left side of the brain?
I think people hold their phone more often with their handed, right-handed people more often hold a phone on the right side.
No, I don't. I'm right-handed. I hold it on my left side.
Yeah, well, I'm right-handed. I hold it on my right side.
Well, let me ask Tom. Hold on. Tom, you're right-handed. You hold it on the right side? Yeah, he does too. I guess I'm...
Well, look at what's important is they've shown now that there's a hand that the side you use the phone on, you use it on your left. It's called ipsilateral. They find the brain tumors preferentially on the side of cell phone use.
That's my major question. What, you know, whatever side they hold it on,
that's it.
So that's where it's going to be.
They alternate sides, but they're finding the they're finding brain tumors on that side. And the really good studies, Pardell and his group, they're showing, you know, dramatic increases in people, especially by heavy use. And so
I use my speaker all the time now.
Absolutely. Don't ever put that thing to your head. It's a microwave transmitter. And why would you stick your head in a microwave oven?
You know, and in a strange way, Sam, thank God for text messages, because not to text when you're driving, but at least you don't have that phone up to your ear anymore.
Exactly.
And you're not talking a lot. At least you're just, you know, like a little keyboard.
And if you look at the fine print on the cell phones, they all say don't keep an air gap between it and your head. They usually look at 5/8 of an inch.
I was going to your website earlier today, and I've noticed that dirty electricity is now coming out in German, right? What's going on there?
Well, the company Mosquito Verilog wrote me about, I don't know, almost a year ago, and said, hey, could we translate it and put it in German? In fact, 2 days ago, I got my own personal copy in German. I speak a little German, but it was really amusing to look through it. And the Israelis, there's going to be an Israeli version of it fairly soon. It's selling
good for you. Well.
And, you know, I get 4 or 5 calls a week from people.
Good for you. We're going to talk a little bit more about cell phones, and we're going to get into smart meters as well, okay, because they're all over the place. Are you under any fire yourself personally because you've taken this stance that it's bad, it's harmful?
No, not that I'm aware of. I'm sure a lot of people in the business don't like me. But no, I'm under no fire.
Okay. Not concerned, nobody's following you, nothing like that.
They may be. Look, I'm old enough, I've survived long enough. I'm just not afraid of anybody. I'm just going to tell the truth and try to warn people that this is a big deal. And unfortunately, people don't like to give up their toys.
No, they don't. Are the newer phones, the smartphones, are they emitting more power, more radiation than the older conventional cell phones?
I just got an email today. I think you got one too. I got a copy of it. Some guy in Florida that is a 29-year-old daughter. You know, he spent $30,000 trying to find out what was wrong with her, and it turned out she'd gotten a new biophone or something like that. I don't even know the type, because I don't use the damn thing. But she was dreadfully ill from this new phone. So she's electro hypersensitive, and there are lots of people like that around. I know a lot of people can't put a cell phone near their heads. Some of the newer technologies, are more powerful. I think they transmit all the time. But I'm not certain of that. But this one case, the woman was immediately cured once they took her new phone away from her.
So, see, that's important.
That's very important.
What do you recommend, Sam, parents do with the little ones that now almost all have cell phones? I'm talking about kids that might be 10, 11, 12 years old.
I think it's insanity. And you've got to teach the kids, if they're going to use it, you always use it on speakerphone and never have it on when it's on your body. I mean, a lot of kids sleep with the cell phone under their pillow. They're in their pockets or in their whatever. And I mean, it's a microwave emitter. It's intrinsically dangerous, and it's got to be treated like it's a snake. But the kids respond to peer pressure, and all their friends have it. I'm really seriously worried about them and the rest of us.
How long does it take, Sam, to accumulate this problem?
There's conflicting evidence. The cell phones, like when people moved to Israel and they x-rayed their heads for lice, it took up to, I mean, they're still having cases 50 years after their exposure. The latency for brain tumors is long, but I've developed some data recently that says it can be very, very short, too.
Short being how much? How much time?
Like a year.
That's all?
I'm not talking strictly cell phone. I give you the evidence. I noticed in fact, they got a paper out on it's coming out in this fairly shortly, showing that anytime you get a recession in this country and around the world, the health indexes improve, the death rate goes down, life expectancy goes up, and it happens that year. And I've shown conclusively for myself and hopefully for everybody else that it's strictly a function of how much electricity is generated, distributed, and we're exposed to. And there's no latency. It doesn't take 2-3 years. It happens on that year. And they've noticed that, for example, when places get electrified, the birth rate changes immediately, goes down.
Well, you know, we do know that the birth rates seem to be going down, or people are, men especially, they don't seem to be able to produce like the old days.
If you carry a cell phone in your pocket, your sperm counts go down. They've done there's good data on that. I think the fertility clinic boom in this country is due to the fact that
people are carrying cell phones.
Cities are hot. It's affecting the women. It's affecting the men too.
That's bizarre. We may be killing off the human race with all these things.
We're doing a good job at it, and what's really one of my former students is he's an epidemiologist at Kaiser Permanente in the Bay Area. And he's done some really remarkable studies back 15 years ago. Anytime a woman in the system got pregnant, he enrolled her in a study, and he put a magnetic field meter on them. On the women in their first trimester for a single day.
I bet they glowed like.
And that reading on that machine, on that meter.
Spiked,
predicted whether the kids got asthma whether they were obese 15 years later. So the epidemics, that's really good evidence that the current epidemic of asthma in kids and of obesity in kids had its origin in utero and from electric magnetic field exposure.
In spite of the fact that people are being bombarded with this all the time, there are some things they can do to minimize it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I carry a cell phone when I hike just for emergencies, but it's never on in my pocket, and I've never, ever had to have it up against my head, period. That's the way to handle your cell phone.
That's a good point.
And you see people walking around with them glued in their ear, and then have these Bluetooth things where they have the thing stuck in their ear.
That's just as bad, right?
That's insanity. I mean, of course it's bad.
What about earplugs?
I mean, having a phone remote and having a cord to your ear?
Yeah, it's corded to your ear.
Well,
that's better, right?
As long as the phone is away from your body,
right?
It's okay.
You can hold it, though, right? In your hand?
In your hand, sure. But you don't want to hold it in your pocket because it's right near your genitalia. And then you don't want it on when it's on your body.
Gosh, mine's always on.
Well, if people have their phones on.
But I hold mine a lot. Or I put it on a table or something.
That's okay as long as it's not in contact with your body. I mean, because it's those fields generate.
Other than just holding it from your car to your wherever you're going.
Right. Well, people hate me because I don't have my cell phone on and because they can't reach me. That's fine. I mean, it's my choice.
Okay. Sam, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment. Dr. Samuel Millam with us here on Coast to Coast AM. His work, Dirty Electricity. We're going to talk about smart meters when we come back, the smart grid as well. What about appliances in your house? These are some tips, you know, news you can use, but something that's going to help you out, especially those of you who have parents. Older parents and also younger kids living with you, you're going to want to know about this. If you need his website, it's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie, and we will be right back on Coast to Coast AM. And our guest is Dr. Samuel Millam. We're talking about dirty electricity. It's everywhere. More to come when we roll right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dr. Samuel Millam. Samuel, what was it that got you into this field? I mean, was there an event that changed your life? What happened?
Well, I got into this field almost accidentally. I did occupational health studies, and I took a job at the Washington Health Department in 1968. One of the first things I did was I coded all the death records to occupation of the decedent. And, actually, I'd done a study in New York State before I came here, and I showed using the death records that the Hodgkin's disease, which is a kind of cancer, was a disease of people who worked with wood. But that was just, you know, one cancer. And so why not look at all the occupations and all the cancers and all the causes of death? And so I sat down with my secretary for a year, and we coded all the deaths from 1950 forward to occupation. And when I looked at it, looked at the data, all the obvious stuff showed, you know, cops get shot by, get killed by bullets, and pilots die in plane crashes, and et cetera. But mm-hmm. what showed that was new was that people who worked with electricity, electricians and people like that, people worked at the Columbia River dams, appliance repair people, welders, they all had a systematic increase of certain cancers and other causes of death. So I reported it, and that's how it all started for me. That was way back in the 60s.
Is there a major class action suit here?
I mean, there could be, and there, yeah, there should be, but there hasn't been. No, unfortunately.
It would be huge.
Yeah, well, hey, you don't know how huge it'd be. And so someday, you know, when I'm in my grave, it'll happen. But, you know, look at the SS.
We'll line your casket in gold then, Sam,
yeah,
huh?
No, I'm going to get burned. But look at the asbestos story. It took about 50 years for,
yeah,
people to get wise to it. And they're still mining and exporting the stuff. But
yeah,
the cigarette business, that took another 50 years before anybody believed it. There's still people smoking. You know? There'll be people using these devices long into the future, but at their own peril.
What about iPads and things like that?
Well, look, if it has potential to put a current in your body, I'd say there's a risk to all of them.
In everything.
And anything that's electrical, the tense care units, they put these gizmos on your body to relieve pain. They put currents into your body. It's transcutaneous electric stimulation.
And one of the major issues, I think, here too, Sam, would be, this is so young. We're in the infancy of this technology. We really don't know the scope of the danger 10, 15, 20 years out from now.
Well, you put your finger on an important fact. If you were develop something, it could get dumped into a million people's environment without anybody having tested it for safety. I mean, unfortunately, that's how it goes. I mean, the new gizmos, new devices are coming out all the time. You know, you mentioned smart meters before and appliances. Appliances now, I've had experience in the last couple of months. When I measured a house, I was just astonished that all the appliances had full-time transmitters sending signals to the smart meter on the wall. So if you're in the kitchen, a housewife, you're getting bombarded,
yeah,
by your own appliances. And if you have,
you can't run away from them.
Furnaces have variable speed fans. Those things put out terrible dirty electricity. I had a furnace go out last year, and they dropped this thing off. They were going to put it in. I looked at the box and said, hey, does this have a variable speed fan? He said, yes. I said, well, get rid of it and get me another one. One of my friends called me up, who's electrosensitive. His freezer went out there in the Midwest during a 110-degree heat wave, and he had Sears to deliver a new freezer, and he plugged in and got sick. And he said, what's going on? But he had enough equipment, so he went and measured that it had a transmitter that was zapping him. So he called Sears and said, come and get it and bring me last year's model without it.
And did they?
They did.
Interesting. Well, that brings up something. How do we know what gets us sick and what doesn't? You know, if sometimes people might wake up and they just don't feel good. You know, they had a night's sleep. They wake up. They just don't feel good. How do we know it's attributed to that or something they ate or who knows what?
Well, yeah, I could go on for 2 hours on this. I was studying wind turbines at a reservation down in San Diego County, and I was doing some house measurements. And one of the real big offenders in this business that people just don't know about are cordless phones that say DECT on them, DECT, digital enhanced cordless telephones. The evil of those things is the base unit, not the phone, the base that you set the phone in.
That's right.
Is a microwave emitter, and it's sending the stuff out 24/7.
Everywhere.
In this one house, in this this nice gal, mid-50s. I just mentioned casually, I showed her with the meters I have that it was emitting, you know, microwaves. Actually, you can do that with a simple AM radio. You put an AM radio, portable radio near those things. They just howl. So you know that they're putting out this stuff. So I just mentioned to her, get rid of it. And I didn't see her for like a month. And I was doing a study at the tribal center where she's a secretary. And she came up to me and put her arms around me and said, she said, you can't believe what happened to me. I said, well, tell me. She said, the day she got rid of that, she slept through the first night and since she bought the silly thing. She'd had severe back and leg pains that she was being treated by a neurologist. They were thinking about doing some surgery. That went away. She'd been taking pills for depression. That disappeared.
Amazing.
So all these ailments, these vague ailments that she was having, insomnia, were strictly due to that deck phone. So I just wonder how many other people have
that. Jeez. No wonder people feel better when they go away to the islands or a beach and they get away from all this stuff.
I got a friend who, when women can't get pregnant, said, take your husband and or your boyfriend and go up to a cabin up in the Canadian woods, have any electricity for a couple weeks and see what happens.
That'll work. Amazing. It is truly bizarre. Well, now the smart meters, are you opposed to them primarily because they're bombarding everything all over the place?
I dislike them for a number of reasons. First of all, The power company slapped them on our houses without our permission.
That's true. As a matter of fact,
that's the first.
I went back to St. Louis a few weeks ago. Yeah. I've been there. I was there for 6 weeks, and I'm convinced there's a smart meter back there where the meter used to be because it's a different box, and it looks.
You know, you can tell them just by looking at them.
Yeah.
The old meters have a disc that moves. It's a horizontal disc right in the middle of the meter.
Yeah, it spins.
Turning.
Yeah.
Smart meters don't have that. So you could just instantly look at a meter, say whether it's smart or not, or whether it's dumb.
And will they take it out if you ask them to?
Well, in some states, there's an opt-out. Like California has got an opt-out, but you got to pay $75 up front and then $10 a month to have somebody come read your old meter. So I think that's a scam. And some places... They won't take it out. Some states are getting smart. There's a couple states that have forbid their deployment. But with that, the first problem is I didn't ask to have one put on. The second problem is the things are a transmitter, okay? They transmit microwaves, and they transmit it out, and they transmit it in from the wall. So on the inside of the wall where that thing is mounted, you're getting microwave radiation. The other thing that people don't know about is all transmitters have switching power supplies in them because they all run on direct current. And that device chops the current up and makes dirty electricity. So any house that's got a smart meter on it, the dirty electricity is getting into their wires, it's getting into the ground, it's running to the neighbors. What I find now is that areas that have smart meters in all the houses, the currents in the ground, the voltage in the ground that I can measure is higher.
Can you get electrocuted just by merely walking around in your, bare feet and it rains?
No, but I'll tell you, what it does to cows is I've seen movies of even just really low voltages and the high frequencies, the dirty electricity, the cows kind of dance. They're uncomfortable putting their feet on the ground.
They can feel it. They tingle.
They feel it. They don't milk. And, that's how this whole area got uncovered. Is Dave Stetzer and Professor Martin Graham got involved with the Midwestern dairy farmers whose cows were just giving up, dying, and aborting, and they found out it was this garbage from the utilities. The utilities, when the grid was built, all the electricity that they delivered to your house or your business went back on the wires.
That's right.
And now. Well, with the advent of computers, what happened is they all have switching power supplies in them, and But they put in high frequencies, the high frequencies into the wires to go back to the substation.
Now they give you just enough power, right?
High frequencies don't run don't travel well in wires. They have what's called the skin effect. You need a thicker wire to carry high frequency than 60 cycle. So what happened is the buildings started burning. The neutral return wires in buildings and factories started catching on fire. So they changed the building codes to make you beef up or put bigger wires in for returns in the buildings and houses. But the utilities, they ducked it, and instead of putting bigger wires on their poles, which cost them a little more money, they dumped the stuff into the ground. You look at every transformer and many poles. You look at the transformer, it's got those little cans on the poles. They got three contacts on them. The center one's the neutral. There's a wire running from that into the ground. So what happens is all this dirty electricity that's being generated by computers, et cetera, is getting into the ground. It runs into your house from your neighbors through the ground pipes. It comes in on your wires. So it's just a mess. I mean,
in our effort to increase technology, we've done some very damaging things to people, haven't we?
Well, it's unbelievable. But I'm convinced, as my book says, that everything, heart disease, suicide, obesity, diet, and all the diseases, so-called diseases of civilization are due to this, due to nothing else. And it's not lifestyle, my friend. It's a man-made environmental contaminant it drives the wheels of progress in the world. Nobody wants to go back to the dark ages, but God, we've got to learn how to manufacture it and deliver it in a safe way. There's ways of doing it. It just costs money.
Well, see, that's what you've just hit it right on the head. People don't want to go back to the dark ages. They're petrified.
Like the power companies around here give away these compact fluorescent lights for saving. Well, those things are terrible. They contain mercury. They put out a ton of dirty electricity. The light from them isn't very good. Some people just break out in a rash.
It's a horrible light.
Into that light. So you know, why do I, wasn't that tested? Why? How do they get away with delivering that stuff?
What's wrong with the old incandescent bulbs?
They're just perfectly fine. In fact, if you have a compact fluorescent bulb and you want to get rid of it, you're not supposed to put it in the dump. You can't take it back where you bought it because it's a hazardous waste. You have to take it to a special place for disposal. And we were talking about the smart meters and what I hate about them. First, they dump them on your house without you're saying. They generate two kinds of they generate microwave radio frequency radiation. They also generate dirty electricity. And the other problem with them is that they're hackable. In other words, it's a digital device, and people outside can who are smart with code can pick up what your readers is reading, and it allows the power company, say, to shut off your air conditioner anytime they feel.
Anytime they need to, yeah. And you know. And around my house, by the way, Sam, I've got incandescent bulbs and LED bulbs. I've gotten rid of all my fluorescent bulbs.
They're horrible. The other thing that's nasty about it is now that they're as part of the scheme is to have all the appliances give their information to the smart meter.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that part of the scam is that the utilities are going to sell this information. It's very important.
It's too much information.
Want to know how often you brush your teeth or what time of day you do this.
Yep. When do you wake up? When do you do this? When do you make your coffee?
They can tell what kind of device you're using. They can tell a hair dryer from a vibrator from whatever. I mean, so basically, I think it's a terrible invasion of privacy, and so there's nothing good about them. And I can't tell you how many people have called me and been made immediately ill the minute it went on their house. I know two women who, you know, had to leave their homes.
How much of it is psychosomatic that's in their head? What do you think?
Yeah, that's what the doctors tell them, but I've met these women, I've been with them, I know them, and I've checked them, and there's nothing psychosomatic about it. And I work with Dave Stetzer, who's electrosensitive, and I've been with him doing a job in a place that had high levels of dirty electricity. And I watched his I watch him. He breaks out. That's the first thing that happens is his chest breaks out. And if it keeps breaking out, it bleeds through his shirt. And he gets out of the fields and it heals up. His blood sugar goes up immediately when he gets in these fields. And I know other people who vomit. Well, okay, I'll tell you a story about Stetzer. He came home from a foreign trip. Of course, he knows all about this stuff. He's a co-inventor of the meters and the filters. And when he got in his house, which was clean when he left, he just immediately sick. He spent all night vomiting. And he found out that what had happened is his next-door neighbor had just put a variable speed motor on a swimming pool, a new swimming pool pump. And that was causing his problem, you know, 50 yards away.
That is amazing.
Isn't that just amazing?
You take it away and you're okay.
And they changed it out and he's fine. I mean, I've hung around with one electrosensitive woman. I've got all these fancy meters. She's the best meter in the world. She said, hey, there's something over there and it's coming from
there.
Yeah,
she's a human meter. She really
she
is.
She knows immediately what's going on and she feels it. And I don't feel a thing. Except if some hotels, I can't sleep in these Wi-Fi hotels. And speaking of that, I just came back from a trip, and here every seat in the plane's got a TV, which is an emitter, right in front of you on the back of the neighbor's seat. They had this Wi-Fi beamed up from the ground.
This must drive you nuts.
And well, hey, it drives nuts. It makes people sick. And, you know, you should never put wireless microwaves in a metal cylinder because it gets reflected. And there's hot spots. What it'll do, it'll kill the crew.
You can't go anywhere. That's
and,
interesting.
I had another bad adventure on that trip. I was in La Crosse, and I come into the TSA area, and they had this machine they wanted to put me into to see if I'm carrying a bomb. And I wouldn't go through it. I said, I'm not going to go through that thing. It's a millimeter wave transmitter. And we said, oh, there's no radiation. I said, if there's no radiation, how can it take my picture? And show me naked, you know?
Yeah.
So they patted me down. They read through my suitcase. But I've been in that airport two or three times, and I've measured the dirty electricity a couple times. Now this big, expensive, powerful transmitter is operational.
Well, and so many people are going through it, Sam. We're going to come back and take some phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.